This is Kali Akuno, co-director of the U.S. Human Rights Network. I'm here with Malcolm Suber. Malcolm is a longtime revolutionary fighter who has lived in New Orleans for the past 32 years. He is currently the project director of the American Friends Service Committee in New Orleans. He's a leader with Community United for Change, which is a coalition of activists and community people who came together in 2010 to fight against police terror. And the selection of Ronald Serpas, I believe I got that name right, a former deputy NOP police officer, and the new police chief under white mayor, Mitchell Andrew. The Community United for Change has since that time focused on demanding the firing of Chief Serpas and developing a people's consent decree to put New Orleans residents in charge of the oversight of the New Orleans Police Department. And the CUC was also instrumental in building support for the prosecution of NOPD officer Henry Glover, and also played a leading role in the recent conviction of the five police officers involved in the Danza Bridge killings in 2005 following Hurricane Katrina. Malcolm, I want to welcome you and start off by just, if you can, give us a recap of the victory that just happened in New Orleans around the Danziger piece, and if you can, just give our audience, you know, some background on the work that's really been happening the past 6 years that you've been a part of, you know, to bring them to justice.
Thank you for inviting me to discuss this most important victory for the people's struggle against police terror in the United States. What had happened, of course, is the complete abandonment of any semblance of criminal justice norms in the aftermath of Katrina. The whole world witnessed, of course, that hundreds of thousands of black people were abandoned in the city, weren't provided any means of transportation or getting out of the floodwaters. And basically, the whole communication system in the city of New Orleans broke down, and the police were pretty much on their own. And as the police were already very, very brutal and undisciplined and terrorist, even before the storm, without any oversight, without TV and radio being around, these people just went wild. They went wild it out. And what happened on this particular day, which was September 3rd, a few days after the storm, two separate families, the Madisons and the Bartholomews, were crossing from one side of the Danziger Bridge to the other. And the Danziger Bridge basically is on Sheffman Trier Highway in New Orleans, and it crosses the Industrial Canal, which separates New Orleans East from the rest of the city of New Orleans, basically separates Gentilly from New Orleans East. And these families were, like many families after the storm, were trying to find a dry place and also searching for provisions. And so there was a Winn-Dixie that was across the Danziger Bridge, and many people had been going back and forth to that store to try to get foodstuffs and what have you. And what had happened was that there was a report that there had been some firing on a police officer. And so what happened was these police officers, 10 of them, got into a U-Haul truck and headed for the Danziger Bridge, where it was reported that, police officers were under fire. So basically what you had was a search and destroy mission. These cops, in my opinion, had already made up their mind that they were going to go and eliminate anybody that they found, and that they didn't believe anybody was watching. And because officers in New Orleans have gotten away with murders and brutality for so long, they felt that they had a free hand to do whatever they wanted to do. When they arrived at the bridge, they saw a family of five at the bottom of the bridge, and they saw two other black men at mid-portion of the bridge. and they begin to immediately fire upon these unarmed black people. These people ran for cover, and basically they were murdered and shot up by the New Orleans Police Department. And the response of the NOPD was to begin a cover-up. They pretended that these people were shooting at them. They arrested Ronald Madison, who had accompanied his 40-year-old mentally challenged brother. He had a mentality of an 8-year-old, and he was trying to help him escape the police fire. They charged Lance Madison with attempted murder of a police officer and resisting arrest, as they typically do to cover their crimes, and held him in jail for more than 3 weeks. Luckily, for the people of New Orleans and for the people who've been fighting for justice for a long time, nobody could believe that the Madison people, whose brother is a prominent dentist in the city of New Orleans, had anything to do with firing on the police officer. And so back even in 2005, 2006, people began to raise questions about what had happened on the Danziger Bridge.
Mm-hmm.
The police bragged that they had been in a shootout and that they had won the shootout. And I can remember crystal clear. I was in Houston, Texas at the time. And I remember Compass, who was the police chief at that time, saying that they had done a shootout and they had won, like they were cowboys and Indians out on the plains. And that was really disturbing to me at the time. And but what eventually happened, of course, is that the local black DA in 2006, Eddie Jordan, tried to indict these officers for the murders on the Danziger Bridge, and he said correctly at the time that these are rabid dogs who kill people like that. And, of course, the New Orleans Police Department rallied around these cops. They were called the Danziger Seven, and they had basically had a cheering squad as they were led to the courthouse after their indictments. And so it eventually came out that cover-up began from day one. They went and got a drop gun, which the Sergeant Kaufman called a ham sandwich, went and got a gun and planted it at the bridge. And this was all brought out because some of the police turned state evidence. So last Friday, after nearly 6 years, the officers went to trial, had a six-week trial, and basically they were found guilty on all 25 counts that they were charged with. So it was a tremendous victory. These officers will go to federal pen for a long, long time. But, of course, this is just the opening of the door of the hundreds of cases of abuse by the NOPD. But this was a significant victory, and it ought to be celebrated not only by the people in New Orleans, but by anybody who is opposed to police terror and police brutality across this country.
Mm-hmm. Could you give us, you've been, you know, organizing New Orleans against police brutality for a long time.
Yeah.
You know, could you just give us a breakdown of both pre-Katrina and post-Katrina? You know, just to paint a picture for our audience of the New Orleans Police Department, because some people know it's rather infamous in its history, but most people, I think, do not. I think there's a chapter of history that's a lot of people are trying to sweep under the rug. I kind of noticed with this particular case and tried to treat it in many respects as if it was something that was rather isolated as opposed to systemic. That's been going on in New Orleans and went on very systematically during, the aftermath of Katrina, particularly, you know, during the forced evacuation, the forced eviction phase of what was going on in New Orleans. So if you can just break some of that down for us to paint a picture to put it in context.
The New Orleans Police Department has always been a very brutal, unprofessional criminal force against the citizens of New Orleans. And ever since I have moved to the city of New Orleans, there has been a consistent pattern of the New Orleans Police Department murdering mainly black citizens, and mainly they've gotten away with it. We have a coroner here, Frank Minyard, who's been a coroner for forever, ever since I've gotten here, and he has never found that the cops committed homicide. Even when, especially after the Algiers murders back in 1980, when independent forensic doctors found that these people had been murdered by the New Orleans Police Department, Frank Minyard said that these were justifiable homicide. And he has continued to do this. Even in the case of Henry Glover, whose body was who was shot by a policeman and whose body was burned up by a policeman, he listed this man's death as unclassified. Time after time after time, forensic pathologists have come after him and said that even a rookie would have seen that this was indeed a murder. So we've got the whole criminal justice system, from the DA to the courts to the coroner, all working in concert with each other to basically cover up the crimes of the New Orleans Police Department against the black community in New Orleans. And we have, of course, always tried to mobilize and organize folks to expose how brutal this force is. And at certain moments, we have been able to beat them back. But because this is ingrained and systemic within the New Orleans Police Department, there has never been a thoroughgoing reform of the New Orleans Police Department that has actually rid it of its tendency to be brutal and oppressive. So one of the things that we're trying to do at this point is to introduce a community oversight committee that would be in charge of enforcing the new rules and regulations that are going to govern the conduct of the New Orleans Police Department. One of the reasons that nothing has stuck in the past is that as they appoint new police chiefs, they just change the rules. And so there's nothing that says that these officers have to be honest, that they have to report any crime that they see. You know, I've always had arguments with other folks. They always tell me, well, Malcolm, we got some good officers on the force. I said, well, there aren't any good officers on the New Orleans Police Department, because if they were any good, they would report all the crimes committed by their partners that they see. And we have had policemen who have quit the force and have told us that they commit crimes on a daily basis. And that is the kind of police force we have. That, and I guess the highlight of that was back in the 90s, this officer was running a drug ring, and this young woman, Kim Groves, reported him to PIB, and the PIB tipped him off, and he had one of his drug pushes to go and murder the woman. And he has received a death penalty. But that speaks to how corrupt the New Orleans Police Department is and had become. And so we're in a tremendous struggle today to point out that this is not an aberration. These were not bad apples. These were the products of a brutal force that was organized to do exactly that, and we say that they were organized to actually police the black community and serve the rich white people in this community.
Now, I want to move in a little different direction. You know, the feds have been looking at New Orleans Police Department and the corruption and the abuse, and they've applied or been trying to apply several kind of consent decrees, as I know Community United for Change has been acting and working on. What's the status of those pieces with the federal government right now?
Well, they came in and they did a study of the New Orleans Police Department, and it was released last March. And basically they confirmed what we had been saying for years, that there was no system in the New Orleans Police Department, that the police were actually just allowed to violate people's civil rights on a daily basis, that they were brutal, that their crimes were being covered up by their superiors, and that basically that the entire operation of the New Orleans Police Department had to be reformed if you were going to have a professional law enforcement body in the city of New Orleans. And so we have engaged with the Justice Department, but I, for one, have always warned people that the Justice Department that's down here investigating the New Orleans Police Department is carrying out all kind of crimes against people all over this country, putting activists in jail,
mm-hmm.
and collaborating with folks around the world who are murdering citizens of this country and other countries on a daily basis. So we can't have any real faith that this Justice Department, which upholds the law, repressive laws of the United States imperialist regime, that they are really our friends. I think this is very convenient for them to come down on New Orleans Police Department, but as I try to explain to everybody, we have to realize that the state is one. The New Orleans Police Department is just the local face of the national police policing apparatus, and that that the NOPD is such a bad actor that they have to be exposed to try and rebuild people's faith. Because what is happening in New Orleans is people who go on juries now say openly that they don't believe a damn thing that a New Orleans policeman says. And so the DA is upset. The other members of the criminal justice system are upset because the defense lawyers are able to just get up and say, well, who can believe a New Orleans policeman? They do all this dirt all the time, so why would you believe them? And the citizens are buying that story because they have witnessed that story. And so they have got to correct the situation down here. Not out of any altruism or really fighting for justice for all, but because this bad apple was casting a bad shadow on the entire policing operation.
All right. Before we close, Malcolm, could you give us a way in which those in our listening audience can get in contact with Community United for Change or your work with the American Friends Service Committee in New Orleans?
Yes, you can get in touch with us at 504-931-7614. That's 504-931-7614. Or you can go on Facebook at Community United for Change. I think people should definitely look up the Danziger Bridge on the internet and read about all this stuff. If you read the things that were done, you will be horrified that this is going on in a so-called civilized country.
And just if I can add, it was just one of many cases. There's still more that need to be looked at, investigated, and prosecuted.
Yes.
Just one of many.
Opening up the door, and hopefully we'll get many more convicted in the next few months.
All right, Malcolm, I want to thank you for your time.
Thank
keep
you.
Up the good work, and we'll be in contact soon.
All right.